your seats. Well, good afternoon. It is so great to be here with all of you. I mean, it's always a privilege to share the Word of God, but even more so, right, when you get to share with incredible pastors and leaders from all over this great state of Western Australia. So many of you who I'm so encouraged by, I'm so inspired by, and just so thankful to God that we get to do this together. And of course, I want to say a massive thank you to our state executive just for giving us this opportunity to be able to share today. We love you, and I just wanted to echo the moment we had before to say thank you for all that you do, how you serve behind the scenes just to serve this state. And of course, our state leaders, my senior pastors. You know, often people will say, well, you know, who they are on stage is the same as who they are off stage. But I feel like if I had to say this about Pastor Joel and Sharon, I'd actually be selling them short. Because as much as their ministry, the anointing, the prophetic, the wisdom, the operating in the gifts and talents is so impacting, and don't get me wrong, I've been so transformed by their ministry, truly the gold and the significance of this couple is who they are off stage. When they sit with you, when they talk to you, when they support you, when they pray for you, when they cover you, when they cook you laksa, when they drop off presents for your kids, when they come around you and just do life together. Mitch and I just love you two so much. We honor you, we adore you, and we thank God for you. Come on, ACC, can we just honor our state leaders? Well, today we're going to get into the Word of God. And, you know, I don't really know if I'm going to share anything that perhaps you haven't heard already. But what I do believe is I do believe that there's going to be a fresh deposit of what the Spirit of God wants to do in your life. And that it wouldn't just be for today, for this moment, for this meeting, for this conference, but that it would actually impart something into you that you could take home to your family, you could take back to your churches, to your ministry, to your small groups, whatever it is that you are doing. And so before we do that, I'd love to just take a moment and pray. Can we do that together? Come on, let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are here. I thank you that you are moving, that you are speaking, that God, you are already working in hearts and lives. And so God, right now we just open up our ears. We incline our ears to your voice. We open up our hearts and we say, God, come and have your way. Like we prayed last night, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wanted to tell you the story that happened a couple of years ago. I had reconnected with a friend from high school. She had come to our chapel service, and it was so exciting because I hadn't seen her since we were in high school. And I got to chatting with her, and she was telling me about her life and how, you know, she'd met this guy and they were engaged and they bought a house and, you know, she got this brand new job, and it was just so great to catch up. And after church, she added me on Facebook. We started chatting on Messenger, and I said, you know what? I'd love to just catch up with you guys, and Mitch and I would love to just find out more about your lives and how you guys have been. And she was like, absolutely. Would you like to come to my house for dinner? And I thought, yeah, totally. We'll come over for dinner. Anything we can bring. She's like, no. Just come this time, this day. We'll see you there. And so the week of this comes around, and Mitch and I are getting ready to go to this dinner. And so we're thinking, like, this is midweek, right? It's a 6 o'clock dinner. Like, that's awesome. Okay, just catching up with some friends. You know, people like us are just going to their house down the road from us. And so we get ready for this midweek casual dinner. And so, you know, I put on my casual best. If you know me, I am a huge fan of just being comfortable. And so I put on, you know, my best tracksuit, a great hoodie. And I put on a pair of slides. Mitch was in his sneakers, had my best mum bun on, and, you know, had no makeup. Just going to be comfortable, just going to catch up with friends, you know, looking forward to it. And we're taking our one-year-old, and so I just thought, you know, I'll just put him in his PJs because we'll be done, 8:30, 9 o'clock, no problem, fall asleep in the car, transfer him. Awesome. So anyway, we get in the car and we start driving to this dinner. And as we turn into my friend's street, we see that the street is just lined with cars. And I'm like, oh, that's a bit funny. Maybe someone's like having an event. Maybe there's a party going on. Oh, I wonder, that's a bit strange. So we keep driving and we pull past her house and we notice that all these cars are in fact piling into her driveway. And Mitch is like, babe, like, have you got the right address? Have you got the right time, the right date? And I'm frantically scrolling through my messages like, yep, this is the right house. It's the right time. It's the right place. Okay, and so we get out of the car and we see other people getting out of their car and they're in full suits and fancy dresses and high heels and these little kids are in their little suits and their fluffy dresses, but by now it's like too late, right? Like people have already seen us. We're here. We're meant to be inside the house for dinner. And so we walk towards the door, and at the door is a photographer waiting to take our photo. And then I see my friend who walks out towards me in her long white gown. And I say, Ika, you told me come for dinner. She said, yeah, my wedding dinner. Oh. And I felt like I was in one of those expectation versus reality memes. Have you seen them, right? Expectation. Midweek casual dinner catch up. Reality. Show up in my trackies, my mum bun, and my kid in his bright red fire engine PJs to a wedding dinner. And so we stand and we smile through our teeth and we get our photo taken at this wedding reception that we turn up to. You see, we went into that situation with a set of expectations. We went into that circumstance with a set of expectations based on what we believed, what we knew, what we thought was going to happen. And all of us have a set of expectations that has been crafted and developed by the things that we've gone through, the situations that we face, maybe how much we know. And you know, our expectations, they dictate, they determine our attitudes and our actions. They dictate our attitudes and our actions. You see, the expectations that you have for your marriage will actually determine how you treat your spouse, how you speak to your spouse, how you prioritize your spouse. The expectations that you have for your team, your small group, your church will actually dictate how you love on your team, how you care for your team, how you value your team. The expectations that you have for this conference when you hear the words multiply, multiply, multiply will actually determine the extent to which you receive that word. And so today, I want to talk to you around this thought, great expectations. Great expectations. Because you see, our expectations are this powerful, powerful tool in our lives. I love my mom. She's here today. I already warned her in advance that I was going to share a story about her. My mom is a living legend. I couldn't live without her. She is a very educated woman. She's a very accomplished woman. But she's got a little blind spot. And this blind spot is when it comes to gadgets, right? The latest thing on the market, the latest tool that's going to help you live longer or live well or improve your health, or you know those things you see on the TV ads, right? If you know the latest gadget, my mum probably has two of them. And so this one time I remember she came to me and I was like, Mum, what's this bracelet that you're wearing around your wrist? And she's like, oh, you'll never believe it. This bangle is going to cure my back pain. I'm like, Mum, it's a plain silver bangle. How is that going to cure your back pain? She's like, no, I saw it on TV. They told us that there's something in it that just works to help your back pain. I was like, okay. And I was like, so how's your back going? How long have you been wearing for? I've been wearing it for a day. And I tell you what, Taryn, I've not had a single ounce of pain today. It's like, oh, yeah, cool. anyway, a week later, I was like, hey, Mom, I noticed you're not wearing your bangle. Where's your bangle at? She's like, oh, yeah, it wasn't really working, hey, like, back pain came back, and I don't know what happened. The first day, it was so good. I was like, you know what that is? That's called the placebo effect. You ever heard of the placebo effect? Right? The placebo effect works that when they're trying to trial a new medication or a new treatment, they will give two groups of people. One group will get the actual treatment, the active ingredient, and the other group will get the inactive ingredient, meaning they'll get nothing. But what they have found is that because both groups don't know, because both groups are expecting to get the same thing, the group that hasn't got the active ingredient still show the signs and the evidence that they have experienced in the same way as the active treatment. It shows how powerful it is that when we expect something, come on, it changes the way that we receive it. Throughout the Bible, we see that we are supposed to live with this expectation, right? We're supposed to live with this expectation when it comes to the kingdom of God. We know that our faith, what is our faith? Our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things that are not yet seen. What is our hope? Our hope is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. And the Bible encourages us that we are to live with this hope. We are to live with this confident expectation. When you look at the word expectation, I love what Pastor Donna did before. To live with expectation, it's an anticipating. It's a looking forward. Paul uses this word in Philippians and in the Greek to be eagerly expectant in the way that Paul talks. It means a posturing, to lean forward, to lean your head, to reach out, to receive what it is you are expecting. In Luke 3:15, it talks about this interaction between the people and John the Baptist. And it starts the scripture by saying the people were with expectation. You see, for hundreds of years, the people were expectant for this Messiah, this anointed one, the Savior who was going to come and deliver the people and overthrow the government and make a new way and develop his kingdom on earth. It says they were expectant, they were anticipating, they were awaiting this Messiah. The people were with expectation. There's a translation that I read in that same scripture. It says they were on tiptoe expectation. Tiptoe expectation, waiting, ready, postured to receive. In Romans, it talks about how all of creation waits in eager expectation. There's a story that God's been speaking to me about in 1 Kings 18 that I want to unpack today in the time that I have left, that looks at living with expectation. And often we go to 1 Kings 18 and we focus on the part where Elijah, he climbs to the top of Mount Carmel and he takes on the prophets of Baal. But I want to actually look at the story that comes after that, where we pick up this story in verse 41. What's happened is that finally Elijah gets up there, and we know that fire comes from heaven, and God is revealed as Yahweh, the one true God. And so they seize the prophets of Baal, they slaughter them in the valley, and we pick up the story in verse 41. And it says this, it says, Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain. The first thing that we've got to know about our expectations is that our expectations should always be in alignment with the word and the character of God. They should always be in alignment with the word and the character of God. This is the foundation of living with expectation. You see, Elijah didn't just say that because he felt like it. He didn't just say that because, you know, it was something that he wanted. He didn't just say that because it was something that he believed for. But when we read earlier on in the story, it says that after 3 years of this drought, 3 years of this drought, God comes to Elijah and says, present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the land. Elijah's expectations were in line with the word of God. They were in line with what he had said to him. I remember in 2019, Pastor Joel, he delivered an exceptional message to our congregation about expectation, and he talked about going into the new year and how we were going to be expectant for God to pour out and that we had to posture ourselves to be ready. And then, of course, 2020 came. And on top of a global pandemic, on top of church shutting down, on top of everything else that the world was experiencing, for Mitch and I personally, in our own lives, within our own family and our close friends, in the first 6 months of 2020, we experienced 5 deaths. And it felt like month after month, wave after wave, disappointment after disappointment, loss after loss. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? I came ready. I came expecting. And God, I don't even understand. Like, I prayed, your will be done. I prayed that they would be healed. I prayed that you would bring them back to life. I prayed that you would save that baby. I prayed and I prayed and I stood in faith. And it felt like the moment I said amen, we would get the phone call to go, that person has passed away, or tragedy had hit. And we got left in this space of going, what on earth? And I remember in those months after, of just processing this before God, and God began to speak to me about my expectations. God began to speak to me about what I was expecting. And I said, but God, I wanted your will. I wanted your will. Like, you want healing, right? You want people to be saved. You want to, right? And God said to me, Taryn, just because your will is good, it doesn't mean it's God. Just because your will is good doesn't mean it's God. You see, what we try and do is we try and box God's will into this beautifully packaged present that we understand what he wants to do. We understand the way that he works. We understand the magnitude of his sovereignty. But what you and I need to understand, that God is holy, that his ways are higher than our ways, that his thoughts are above our thoughts, that we can't begin to understand the way that God is going to do what God wants to do. And sometimes we set our expectations based on what we think God wants to do, rather than what God is actually doing. And I want to encourage you today to have a look within, to go, what am I expecting for this next season? What am I expecting in my ministry and our church? And have a look to go, is it in line? Is it in line? Or is it in line with maybe what my circumstance says, what society says, what the voices have said? Is it in line with the word of God? In line with the word of God. People for hundreds of years, they were in expectation for a Messiah. And because they put their own definition, they put their own assumption, they put their own thought on what it would look like, many, not all, but many, actually were so disappointed when Jesus actually showed up on the scene. Many actually point blank missed Jesus on the scene because they had these preconceived ideas and expectations of what it was going to look like. Are your expectations in line with the word of God, with the character of God, or is it purely maybe what I want, what I desire, or maybe what I think God wants? The story continues, and it says, so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah, he climbed to the top of Carmel. He bent down to the ground, and he put his face between his knees. You see, the posture of expectation comes from the proximity to the Father. The posture of expectation, it comes from your nearness, your closeness to the Father. It says that Elijah, he went away from the chaos, he went away from the noise, and he climbed to the top of the mountain. The scripture doesn't record that he says anything particular, but I believe that his posture says it all. That I just want to be near. I just want to be close. I just want to be intimate with Father God. Because when we're in that place of nearness, of closeness, of intimacy, it's there that we get a revelation of expectation. You know, the closer you get to something, you notice how your expectation rises, right? Your anticipation rises. For all the Christmas lovers in the room, the closer you get to Christmas, come on. You're like, I can hear Mariah Carey in the distance. She's coming. She's on her way, right? Okay, maybe there's not a lot of Christmas lovers. What about when you're on a road trip and you're busting to go to the toilet? And the closer and closer you get to your house, right? You pull in the driveway and that garage door just won't open. The anticipation, the expectation rises. I've got two boys. I got a quick picture of them because why would I not take a moment to brag on this? Look how cute they are. They're cute, eh? So sweet. Anyway, these two boys, on every weekday when we're at home, I always try and tell them when Mitch is on his way home from work. And I love what they do when I tell them that Dad's almost home. I've got the next photo. They stand and they wait. You can tell the troublemaker, hey. In expectation and anticipation. And I love it as they see his car come around the corner. I love it as they hear the gates open and his car closes and the squeals, they get louder and louder and louder until he gets to the back gate and they're like, Dad's home. The closer we get to our Father, the nearer we get to our Father, it develops this posture of expectation within us. The story continues. And it says, in verse 43, it says, Elijah, this is Elijah talking, and he says, go and look toward the sea. He told his servant, and he went up and he looked. The servant goes, there's nothing there. Seven times. Elijah said, go back, go back, go back. You see, expectation is evident when we walk the walk. See, Elijah didn't just pray for rain. He didn't just believe for rain. He didn't just say there was going to be rain, but he expected rain. He said, go back, check again, look again. For him, it wasn't even a matter of whether or not God was going to send the rain. He knew God was going to send the rain. The question was, when was it coming? And so he said, look again, check again, go and see again. You know, it's easy to say, well, I trust God. It's easy to say, well, I believe in God. I believe God for multiplication. It's easy to talk the talk. But can we truly walk the walk? Can we live like God is going to do what God has said he's going to do? A few years ago, Mitch and I had felt at the beginning of the year that God was calling us to move house, that we were to be closer to where church, our ministry, our family was, to raise our boys. And I remember after hearing that going, okay, God, like, yeah, we hear you, but we just don't know how that's going to happen. Like, we don't have the finance for that. We don't have any means to buy a house or to sell this house. We're just not really sure. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying, well, Taryn, do you trust me to provide for you? I was like, absolutely, God, I trust you. You've done it before. You'll do it again. Of course. And he said, well, will you start preparing for it? Will you start living like it? And so I was so challenged. And so I started to collect these packing boxes and I started to pack up my house. I started to pack boxes. I started to prepare and to get ready. And I remember people would come over and they'd be like, oh, you guys are moving house. I'm like, yeah. They're like, where are you moving to? And I was like, I don't really know. When are you moving? Also not really sure. They're like, okay, cool. But I remember being so stirred to go, will you live like it? Will you live like it? And of course, God showed up in the most supernatural way and provided a place and a house that was exactly where we needed, exactly where we wanted. But the Holy Spirit was trying to call me to another level to go, come on, are you going to live like it? Are you going to live like it? There's a scripture in Isaiah 54 and it says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. You know, when the Lord spoke this to Israel, Israel was in absolute ruins. They were completely decimated, completely in despair, completely destroyed. It's been said that their army was 1/15 of the original number that was actually there. And so you can imagine these people going, well, they're no longer with us. I need to pull that tent down. And this family is no longer here, so I need to pull this down. And they're no longer around. We're such a small number now. We've got to consolidate. We've got to, you know, bring everything in. We've just got to meet the needs of where we are right now. And God's going, nah, I want you to enlarge. I want you to spread out. I want you to make space. I want you to get ready for what God is going to do. There's a story in the New Testament about blind Bartimaeus. Do you remember it? And the story goes that blind Bartimaeus, he hears about Jesus coming to town. He hears about what Jesus is going to do. And the scripture tells us that he does this thing where he takes off his cloak, he takes off his garment, and he throws it aside. You see, this garment, this cloak that he would wear, this was the thing that identified him. This was the thing that identified his lack, his need, his disability, his situation, his circumstance. It identified who he was. And notice that before he even spoke to Jesus, before he even touched Jesus, before he even had an encounter with Jesus, he had this revelation of expectation to go, I know that Jesus is here. And because Jesus is here, I'm getting my healing. I'm getting transformed. I am leaving here different. And so he throws off his cloak. You see, expectation will allow us to live in this place of being ready, of being postured, of being prepared to go, God, I know that you are going to do it. I know that you are going to do it. I want to ask you today, does your life, does the way that you live, does it point to the expectation you have for Jesus? Does it point other people to go, man, what are they living for? What are they so excited about? What are they anticipating? Why are they always ready for something good around the corner? Does it point people to go, they've got something different about them? It says, the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Expectation will see what doubt, confusion, and unbelief will miss. It will see what doubt, confusion, and unbelief will miss. You see, doubt will go, nah, I don't think I actually saw that. I don't think I really did see that. Confusion will say, well, it might have been a cloud, but you know, it could have just been like a flock of birds. It could have just been something else in the sky. And unbelief will say, well, I might have seen it, but doesn't mean it's going to rain. But expectation will go, I see that. I see that. Do you see that over there? Do you see God moving? Do you see God's favor? Do you see God's grace? Do you see God's anointing? Can you see what God is doing? Expectation will see it. Even before Elijah could see it, he heard it. He said, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You know, in the second half of 2020, as we were still grappling with this grief and this disappointment and how things had turned out that year, I remember being in a church service and we had gone to the point in our service where we call people down for prayer, and every week we believe that people are going to see signs and wonders and healings and miracles, and so we invite them forward. And I remember that week just still being so caught up in this place, and this lady came forward for prayer and I kind of looked around and everyone was already praying for someone. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. And so I like got to this lady and she said to me, oh, I'm just experiencing some really bad back pain. Would you pray? And I remember the voice of confusion the voice of disappointment. Well, you prayed before and God didn't show up. You prayed in faith last time and they still died. You asked before, you even prayed, God, in your name, your will. You had faith before and that didn't work. Why would you think it would work now? And I remember in this moment, just putting my hands on this woman and I just said, God, I pray that you would bless this woman. God blesses. I can pray that. I remember saying, God, would you just give this woman peace? God gives peace. I know God does that. God, would you just comfort this woman as she goes through what she's going through? I know that God can comfort. And I said, amen. And I walked away back to my seat just so sheepish and felt like, what has happened? And it was in this moment that God spoke to me about how dangerous it is to be in a place where you lose your expectation. Where you lose your expectation. You see, the enemy would love for us to not get our hopes up. The enemy would love for us to not expect too much. And sometimes we justify it to go, well, that's just called being wise. But what we don't understand is that we are blindly finding ourselves in this place of mediocre life where we're just comfortable and in control. And the enemy's going, perfect. That's where I want them. Because when you're in a place where you have lost your expectation, you're no longer a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And you're no longer of any use in the kingdom of God. And the enemy is going, brilliant. If I can steal their expectation, if I can steal their anticipation, if I can steal their hope, that is exactly where I want them to be, disillusioned, trapped, stuck, held back. And I wonder if perhaps what is more dangerous than people walking away from God is men and women who claim to be in the kingdom but sit back, shrug their shoulders and just wait to go, well, what will be, will be. And I want to encourage you today to wake up, to see the enemy's trap, to be aware of the schemes that he's trying to put on his church. It's destroying our souls, it's stealing from our ministries, and it is robbing us of our destinies. I believe more than ever, we need a generation of young people who will rise up and know and expect that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be the same God that shows up today. I believe that we need preachers to rise up and expect that signs and wonders would follow the word. I believe that we need board members, come on, to expect that as they walk into meetings, that the power of God, the Spirit of God would bring signs, would bring prophecies, would bring vision. I believe we need pastors to expect that God can still restore, that God can still heal that marriage, that God can still do what he said he was going to do. Come on. If we don't expect that God's going to do it, we won't ask. We won't pray. We won't go. We won't give. We won't lead. We will not step into all that God wants. We won't obey. We won't speak. We won't take territory. We'll be stuck in this place. Because if we are not a people of faith, then who are we? Who are we? You know, and sometimes you're going, oh, come on, settle down, love. We just, you know, we just don't need all of that rah, rah, rah faith. You know, we're just like, my spirituality is just a little bit deeper than that, you know, just a little bit more mature than that. And, you know, I'm a number one on the Enneagram. I'm not a seven, so that's just not my thing. It's not my personality, you know. What? Seriously? What? Jesus, he goes, see those young people up on their toes with eyes full of wonder, waiting, expecting. See those young people who flock to the altar without fixing their hair or wiping away their tears, without looking to the left or right. Who's going to inherit the kingdom? They are. They are. They are. They are. And come on, I believe that if we could just die to our pride, if we could just die to ourselves, to our expectations, that we could be like those kids, get up on our tiptoes, ignore what the world says. I don't care if I look stupid. I don't care if people go, settle down. I don't care if people go, there's nothing there. I refuse to let the enemy win. I refuse to let doubt have the final word. I refuse to let that be the final say in my life. Come on. We got to be a people of expectation. We got to be a people of faith. We got to believe that God is who He says He is, that He still does what He says He is going to do. I'm so tired of a hopeless nation. I'm so tired of a church that just gets comfortable. It is what it is. I'm so tired of people going from crisis to crisis without anyone going, God's going to do it. I'm so tired of hopelessness being our narrative. We are the people of God. Come on, would you stand to your feet all over this place? Just stand to your feet. You see, because when expectation doesn't lead us, doubt, confusion, unbelief will. You can be sure of that. The story finishes. It says, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose and a heavy rain started to fall. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. If He said it, He will do it. It might not be how you thought. It might not be how you imagined. It might not be the way that you had decided in your heart. But we're not a people that base our faith on what our circumstance says. We're a people that base what our circumstance is going on the faith that we have within us. You know, it's not our responsibility to make it rain, but it's our responsibility to live in expectation of what He will do. Because as we live in this expectation in our hearts, it flows out into our speech, flows out into our actions. It changes the way we pray. It changes the way we lead. It changes the way we pastor. It changes the way the world sees and knows God. You know, for Mitch and I, we're still walking some of the fallout, some of the devastation from what happened in 2020. And, you know, I'm not here to say that we've seen the full turnaround as yet, but what I am here to encourage you to do is to be committed to check again. To be committed to check again. To be committed to check again. To check again. To check again, to look again, to look again, to go again, to climb again, to believe again, to dream again, to ask again, to knock again, to seek again, to desire again, to see again. Final scripture for this session, and one that has just anchored me, and I've just repeated again and again, even when I truly couldn't say that I believed it. But I want us to be a people that could say this with full expectation. Psalm 27, 13. I remain confident. I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I remain confident. I remain confident. I'm going to see it. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I know He's going to do it because He who promised is faithful. And if He has said it, then He will do it. Before we sing this song, you know, I want to pray for you, and I just believe that there are people here that maybe you're like me, and maybe you're just struggling through some disappointment. that maybe you prayed and you stood in faith and you didn't see it. Maybe you tried and it didn't work out. You know, I sense there's people here that there's frustration. There's frustration. That didn't work the way that I thought it was going to work. Come on, if that's you, we're in family right now. Would you just lift your hands before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Come on, let's be honest before the Lord today. And would you just right now just begin to surrender that? Just begin to surrender that. Just begin to lay that down. Just begin to lay it at the foot of the cross. God, I wanted that so badly, but God, it didn't happen. God, I wanted that so badly, but God, it did not happen. Come on, would you just be honest right now? And I just believe that in this place, that my friend, there's freedom for you. First and foremost, there is no condemnation in Christ. And so I just speak shame off you in Jesus' name. Shame off you in Jesus' name. I declare condemnation off you in Jesus' name. And right now, I just believe that as we're in the presence of God, that disappointment is going to fall off your back. I believe that right now, that where there has been frustration, that it's going to be released off you in Jesus' name. That where the enemy has held you back, I declare in the name of Jesus that no longer would the enemy have a hold on you. But today, who the Son sets free is free indeed, and freedom is your portion in Jesus' name. Where there has been discouragement right now, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would break the chains. You would break the chains of discouragement. You would come against, Father, that spirit that is there to steal, kill, and destroy. Right now, some of you are going to feel a release just off you, just off you, just off you, off your back. Right now, some of you have been carrying it like a weight on your shoulder, and I sense that by the power of God, He's going to come and set you free. Right now, I believe that discouragement is going to bow the knee. I believe the voice of the enemy is going to be silenced in your mind. I believe that the things that people have said to you, the power of that curse would be broken in Jesus' name. I believe that doubt is going to fall away. I believe confusion is going to fall away. And right now, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, we say, set him free, set him free, set him free, set him free, set him free. Come on, you lift your hands. You say, set me free, God. Set me free. I don't want to be trapped in this. I don't want to be stuck in this. But God, I want to experience freedom. I want to walk in what you have. Set me free. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Right now, over every person, over every person, over every person. Father, right now, where there is darkness in minds, I just declare the light of Jesus Christ would penetrate that dark place. Thank you, Lord, that it's a new day. It's a new season. And Lord, even as we begin to sing, I pray that in this moment, that fresh expectation would rise. That fresh expectation would rise. That fresh expectation would be poured out. Would be poured out. Would be poured out among your people. That God, you would stir it up within us. Stir it up within us. Come on, would you lift your voice?